Good morning, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, Brad.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing on this fine Wednesday?
We're trying to thaw out here in Music City. It's been a little chilly.
Chilly.
It is January last time I checked.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why I love Brad. He always just tells it like it is.
But we're not living in Cleveland either, okay? You know.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, it was good talking to you, Brad, as always. Yeah. You know that. Historically, Alabama's offense, better than LSU last year, best ever. Where do you put it?
Yeah, I'll go a step further. I think the overall team is the best ever. Alabama as a team, even though it's not, you know, the best defense by any stretch of the imagination Nick Saban's had. But, I mean, offense is the main driver in football anymore. And Alabama had the best offense ever, even without Jaylen Waddle for most of the season. Even without, the, you know, an All-American center for, you know, the last two most important two games of the year. So, yeah, right now in a neutral field, I would have Alabama at least a 3-point favorite over pretty much anybody else. Now, I wasn't doing power ratings back, you know, the 25, 30 years ago when, you know, Nebraska 95 was a good team and stuff. Right. But, I mean, come on. I mean, bigger, stronger, faster, analytics, coaching's better, and quarterback plays better. I mean, usually the last team to win, in my opinion, is going to be one of the best teams ever. And, you know, the last 2 years, Alabama this year and LSU last year, two best teams I've ever seen.
So if this year's Alabama team played last year's LSU team, you'd have Bama favored by a field goal? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, favored by about a field goal. Coaching would be a big difference there. I think a lot of people – I know LSU went and beat Alabama last year, but, you know, I guess I'm a little bit on an island. I would take Mac Jones over Tua, especially Tua less than 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people forget. He was not even close to 100% in that game. And I think Alabama offensively is slightly better than what LSU was last year.
Would the over-under be like 105?
It'd be in the 80s, I would think. I mean, that's incredible. It'd be one of the highest totals ever.
Well, and 70, what was it? What did that end up the other night? 75?
Yeah, I think that,
somewhere
yeah,
in there,
the number
in that
was 75, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how it came within a point, though, that final score. You got to be careful betting overs on Alabama games when Nick Saban takes the air out of the ball in the second half routinely.
Talking with Brad Powers. Brad, an incredible super wild card weekend. I mean, did you see that Browns performance over the Steelers coming?
Yeah, unfortunately I didn't because the Steelers were my favorite play of the week. So, yeah, no.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that was bad. And you knew you're in trouble. The good thing about it, it's not like there was any bad beat in that one. You knew you're in trouble on the first snap of the game when, you know, Pouncey snaps it 10 yards over the head of, you know, Ben Roethlisberger.
Who, by the way, is 6'5".
Yeah, and he doesn't even bother to bend over and get the football. So you knew very early on you were in trouble. The only thing that maybe kept you hope is just the history of the Cleveland Browns, you know, franchise. But so many things left to be desired on the Pittsburgh side. I mean, that was atrocious. Now, Cleveland, you know, kudos for them for getting their first playoff win in a quarter century. But reality might set in this week. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I'm kind of, you know, as I sit right now, I'm pretty much leaning towards taking Kansas City and laying the points. But, you know, if the Browns can keep it close or even get a lead, they can kind of take the air out of the ball with that running attack of theirs and maybe keep Patty Mahomes off the field a couple series.
Yeah, I agree with that thought process. And, you know, I'm a little indifferent myself. 10-point spread, I think I would be much more prone to fading Cleveland if they were playing somebody other than Kansas City. And you know, I know you're going to say, what, Kansas City, the best franchise right now in the NFL, the best quarterback, you know, second-best coach. But this year's Kansas City team, to me, leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
Kansas City hasn't cleanly covered a football game since November 1st. They went a half a season, 8 games, without cleanly exceeding expectations, expectations being the point spread. And you got a Kansas City team that, you know, their starters have been out the last couple weeks. Maybe they're a little slow out of the gates. We've seen them get slow out of the gates in the playoffs, at least their last two home playoffs.
Yeah.
I know they picked it up a little bit in the second half of both of those, but I think where I'm going to come at is probably Cleveland first half play for me, and then we'll see what happens full game.
Well, and that's the only, as I'm looking at it, is that the only number that's opened and stayed where it's been all week at 10? Well, a few of them, I guess the Bills have moved the most in that direction of the Ravens, but is that the only one that stayed constant?
Yeah, it went to 10, very quickly in the process, a few hours in the betting process. I mean, you could have gotten Kansas City like 8.5, 9.5, but it moved so quickly. Just, people that are touting that one up, and I use that word carefully, but you had to get very early in the process if you wanted to get a better number on Kansas City. It's been sitting on 10 for a while. I mean, the big mover in that game and one of the bigger movers this weekend has been a lot of over money. It's up to 57, which is getting in that territory of being an historically high total for a playoff game.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com, the Bill King link at the top right of the page. Of course, he's with Bill every Friday morning during the 8 o'clock hour. Brad Powers, the digit 7, Brad Powers 7 on Twitter, where I read yesterday, talking about overall viewership. Now, the rest, when it's three teams every year, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama,
right,
and then whoever else is invited to the party.
Yeah, the sacrificial lamb year was Notre Dame.
Yeah, or Georgia. Georgia or whomever, Oklahoma maybe.
Right.
But the two biggest TV brands in college football, and this is, I'm paraphrasing you, obviously, there was an election year, COVID, and all the things going into it, but the TV numbers nationally down. But I look at, your program director at News Channel 5, Mark Benda, here, the game on a combined ESPN, WKRN Channel 2 local ABC affiliate did a 36.7, and to exactly your point, has this become a regional sport?
It has, and that's great for people living in the Southeast. I mean, but that's where I do a majority of my shows, and that's fine for everybody living in that, and they should feel very proud about the quality of their football teams in that region. I just think, from a national perspective, it's not good to. You got an entire West Coast that almost feels completely left out of the picture. And really, that we already know the Northeast doesn't care too much. And a lot of the Midwest programs outside of Ohio State have, struggled, at least on the national stage, once they've gotten there, like a Notre Dame, like a Michigan. But, why do I track it? Because everyone asks me, why do you even follow it? Well, I can tell you this. Even though there was historic betting handle, it was the most bet college football championship game ever. And in fact, not only championship game as far as college football, but most bet college football game ever. But a lot of it's legalization. I mean, you're not tracking illegal bets offshore. I'm not surprised at that. But what I do, anticipate, I mean, if you're betting a game, you're watching a game. And if the 30-40% TV viewership's down, I mean, that obviously hurts my industry. And I know it's not going to matter for the next 5-6 years, but I think long-term, it could be a very negative factor in college football.
Yeah, so you're 14 of the last 15 national champions from the Southeast, this region of the country. And
he's right about the Northeast, because I remember growing up, college football was just something to – have on while you're out, running errands or doing whatever
until the pros come on
Sunday.
I
rooted for Syracuse, but they were never any good. They had a couple good years with McNabb and Harrison when they were there, when I was covering them. But yeah, you're right. He's spot on about the Northeast.
Would expanding the playoffs to 8, getting more involved in the process, help or just expose the difference between the haves and the have-nots at the top?
Both. I think it'll be good at the start. I mean, it's not going to change the gap as far. And at least, it's going to take some time. I mean, Alabama wasn't, built overnight here. To catch an Alabama or Clemson and one of these historically great teams, I mean, it's not going to be a one-year process. I mean, you have to really, step up the game in recruiting. And, maybe over time it'll help, but it'll bring TV viewership probably from the initial couple of years to see some different teams in it. But to me, do the results change? No. I mean, in fact, I think it makes it even harder for some teams because, you know, you could always have that one-off game. Remember when Ohio State beat Miami as a big underdog? I know I'm dating myself. It's almost 20 years ago. But yeah, we saw a lot of underdogs win national championship games. It's one game. Say in Miami, and that game had five turnovers, and Willis McGahee gets hurt. Now, say, for example, Ohio State had to turn around and play a USC or an Alabama or a Clemson, and you got to win three of those games. I just, the cream will probably continue to rise to the top, even with the playoff expansion.
Brad, I want to go back to this weekend's NFL divisional games real quick. Probably not a big surprise to you that the Ravens beat the Titans. You've been saying pretty much all year that they were a tad overrated, and I agree with you. Pretty good effort by Lamar Jackson. What kind of chance do you give them to go to Buffalo this week?
I do give them a chance. I mean, historically speaking, the Baltimore's been really good on the road under Harbaugh. I mean, I found this stat to be amazing, but John Harbaugh has more playoff road wins in his career than any coach in NFL history. And
wow. Let's
get some Reese. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, you're earning your pay today, Brad. Yeah.
Recency bias, I mean, they've covered 11 of their last 14 on the road. And to me, you know, you're looking for context clues because obviously the two teams didn't play one another. But the last time the Bills lost the game, you got to go back quite a bit. But they faced it. That was the last time they faced a dual threat quarterback. It was Kyler Murray for Arizona, and that wild one that came down to the end. And to me, Jackson's better than Murray right now. The Ravens have the better defense. I do lean Baltimore. Really wish I could get that plus three. So here's what I'll do. I'll do you guys one better. I'll take 3 and 7. By teasing the Ravens, I'm going to tease them through key numbers of 3 and 7, take them in a 6-point teaser plus 8.5. I know I'm getting technical here, and I'm going to tease the Packers in the first Saturday game down to like 0.5 point. So that's, you're looking for a Bob Steakhouse play in this segment. That 6-point teaser on the Packers and the Ravens sounds good to me.
Now, explain where I can. I mean, you take the two teams, you move the numbers each 6 in either direction, but you have to hit both.
Yeah.
You got to hit both, yeah. I mean, if you lose one, it's not like, oh, it's a push, you get your money back. No, you got to go 2-0 on those to win your bet. But, look, it sounds square doing it because it sounds so easy, but when you're doing it through key numbers of 3 and 7, it's a lot more positive EV, another word that we use in the industry. It's a lot better positive. You get more return on your investment if you're doing it through key numbers at 3 and 7. Key numbers being general football scores, 3-point difference, 7-point difference, the two most common numbers in all of football.
Bucks Saints, battle of the old man quarterbacks. Saints have beaten the Bucks twice this year. Tough to beat a team 3 times in one season, especially when Tom Brady's the quarterback on the other side. How do you see this game?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head on why this number is only 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough to beat a team 3 times in a season, but the reality is the Saints are the better team. I mean, if you just look at a pure power rating or even look at some of the advanced metrics that are, available out there, DVOA by Football Outsiders, I mean, a lot of these, power ratings have the Saints as the best team in the NFL. I mean, if you're looking offense, defense, special teams, and I got a team that it wasn't nothing fluky that they beat Tampa Bay earlier this season. I mean, they controlled both games, and especially that second one. I mean, the Saints dominated the Bucs.
31-0 at halftime, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to lay the 3. Maybe it sounds square, but I'm going to lay 3 points here. I got the better, I just got not necessarily the better quarterback, but I got the better overall team, better defense, better special teams. I'm at home, and I'm going to take the Saints -3.
Did you catch the Nickelodeon broadcast of the Saints-Bears game over the weekend? They replayed it, Greg, yesterday on NFL Network. I caught a little bit. Wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Nate Burleson was great. Noah Eagle, Ian Eagle's son, did a great job.
Would somebody get slimed?
Whenever they would have slime come out whoever scored a touchdown. And I guess, didn't Sean Payton actually get slimed after the game?
I did not.
Break down that Nickelodeon broadcast for us, Brad.
Yeah. Wasn't expecting that question, were you, when you came on today? Were you? Don't have any notes on the Nickelodeon broadcast, Brad?
No, I don't. But I did see it. I think it did a couple of million viewers. And I would say this. Probably that won't be a one-off, I think. I think if you want to cater to a younger audience, I think that that's something we're going to see a lot more often. And kudos for somebody who came up with it. That's thinking outside the box.
Absolutely.
We don't normally see in today's day and age.
Yeah, it's also a good babysitter, right? Just put the kids right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go in here and drink beer.
No, I can actually watch the game and have my kids sit here and be quiet in front of me and watch the game with me.
I thought you were talking about you personally. That's what your preference now is, Nickelodeon.
It's not right.
Slime?
Sure.
You want to be slime?
You don't know where I've been.
I don't know. I don't need to even. We're off the tracks. Brad, get us back on. You've got a great deal going on. Tell the people how to get it.
Yeah, so if you want the rest of the NFL playoffs, I know we only got 7 games left, but if you want all 7 of those playoff predictions by me, if you want all the offseason, you want season win totals, early football information, and you want all of next season, whether it's college football, whether it's the NFL all the way through, next year's Super Bowl, it's called the Powers Picks Newsletter, $69. That price is going to expire on Super Bowl Sunday, so make sure you're checking that out before Super Bowl Sunday. $69. You go to bradpowersports.com. You click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
All right. Thank you, Brad. We'll listen to you with Bill King Friday morning, 8 o'clock hour, and next Wednesday with us. Thank you, man. Have
a good
one.
Appreciate it, Brad. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, Brad.